Morning, church. It is good to see y'all. It's good to be here. I know we have some who are probably at home trying to stay warm there. They just don't know what they're missing out on this morning. It's a great morning to be together. I happen to like the cold weather. I know that makes me among the minority in this part of the country, but I like it when we get a little bit of snow. I don't like ice or anything, but I like a little bit of snow. There is a downside. The ice cream social and swimming party has been canceled for this afternoon. You know it's cold when Tim Polly is wearing pants. That's what I thought today. So, if you're visiting with us today and you don't know Tim Polly, I'll just leave that up to your imagination. All right. He's got on shoes too. That's right. He's got on pants and shoes. My goodness. What's the world coming to? Oh, goodness. It is good to be together. I'm looking forward to our time together this morning. Next Sunday, I'm going to be going with our youth group to the Reflect Youth Conference. So I won't be here. One of our elders will be to be preaching. So plan your vacation accordingly. No, I'm sure they will do a... I know that they would do an excellent, excellent job. I hate that I get to so often miss when they do get to speak. So last week we began this series on how God changes us. And the ways and the tools and the things that God uses. Last week we talked about how God uses coaching to change us, people in our lives who help us change, how God uses truth to change us, particularly the truth of Scripture. This week, we're going to be looking at something that God gives us and something that God takes away from us in order to... Most all of us have tried to change bad habits at one point or another in our life. We've tried to form good habits at some point in our life, and we have failed. We've tried and tried and we have failed. And with all of the different personalities that we have, with all the different circumstances we have, with all the different people we have, why should that be such a universal experience? About that? I mean, people are so different and they come from so many different backgrounds, have so many different circumstances. Why is it everybody should try to change and fail? You'd think that you know, a certain percentage of the population that is all these categories together would all be successful. Well, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago in our Wednesday night devotional, there are common beliefs and reasons that people resist change. And here are some of the most common reasons that people resist change. They resist change because there's a need to change. You know, if you think things are fine as they are, it doesn't matter how destructive they are, whether it's on a level or a spiritual level. If you don't think you need to change, you're not going to change, at least not without something stick happening. Something has to happen to change your mind that you need to change. So there's the first attitude. Second attitude is that they don't really think they have the ability to change. And this is true of even a larger percentage, because most of the time we can figure out at least some of the things that need to change about us. Maybe we need to eat healthier or spend more wisely with the money we have. Maybe we need to be more dedicated to our time in God's Word or our time in prayer or to our spouse or to our children. We know that we need to change, but boy, we just don't think that we actually do it. Another attitude that gets in our way is that we believe failure is inevitable. We just don't really think there's a chance success. No matter how good I may be or how good this thing may be, that failure is just going to happen. I just know it. Deep down in my mind, I know it's going to fail. And the final attitude that really gets in our way is a lack of trust. We just don't believe that those who are responsible for the change can be trusted. Whether it's our spouse, or whether it's our doctor, or whoever it may be, we don't believe that those responsible can be trusted. And maybe that's you. Maybe one of these attitudes in your way of changing before. In fact, I would say that all of these reasons for failure, though, could be summed up in a couple of ways. It's a lack of self-esteem, or we might could even say that it's bad things. All of those are unhealthy ways of thinking. You don't succeed because you don't believe that you can't succeed. You don't succeed because you don't believe up front before you even start that it's even possible. Scripture calls that belief or that lack of belief, he calls it lack of faith or a weak faith. When you don't believe that change can happen, it's a lack of faith. Why did the disciples think that they were going to die on the boat when the storm came up and Jesus was asleep? It was a lack of faith. They didn't really think anything could change that storm, did they? So it was a lack of faith. Why did the disciples, why did they fail to cast out the demons when they were presented with the demons? Because they had a lack of faith. Why did Peter begin sinking when he was walking out on the water to Jesus on the stormy seas? It's because of a lack of faith. Little faith or lack of faith inevitably leads to failure. And when it comes to being changed, what you believe, this is the most important factor, I would argue. What you believe yourself and about God matters. When it comes to change, it's not the factors that are your income, it's your circumstances, it's not your power, it's not your background. More than anything else, when it comes to change, what you believe about yourself, God, that's what matters. So, and it doesn't matter if you want to be spiritual, if you want to become healthier, become a better spouse, a better parent, if you want to be a better employer or employee, if you'd like to change your exercise habits, whatever change in life is, what you believe about yourself and what you believe about God, that is at the root of it. That is what really matters. But it's also true that our lack of faith, our belief comes based on experience. It comes based on previous failures. We've tried and we've tried, tried and we've tried, and we just haven't succeeded. So I haven't done it in the past. I'm not going to do it this time. I'm not even going to try anymore because I've given up, because I've tried and failed so many times. I know the pattern. It's like a back and a forth. Which came first, the failure or the bad attitude? It's almost like a game of pitch and catch, back and forth, back and forth. They're so closely tied that it's inseparable. You throw the ball because you catch the ball. You catch the ball because you throw. It's just back and forth, back and forth. It's a vicious cycle, like a rhythm. I would argue that it's a lot like pitch and catch. That this bad attitude and failure are like a game of pitch and catch. So we're going to look this morning to see what is it that God wants us to pitch and what is it that God wants us to catch. What's the better way of doing this? And we're going to begin by looking at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, "So get rid of your old self, which made you live as you used to, the old self that was being destroyed by its deceitful desires." The first thing, what we need to pitch, what we get rid of, and this is no shocker, it's our old attitude, our old self. It's the old us that's destructive. It says being destroyed by deceitful desires. What's deceptive about these desires? You would think desires were pretty straightforward. I want a banana, so I eat a banana. You know, I want a car, so I get a car. I want a job, so I try to get a job. What's so deceptive about desires? The desires are deceptive not because they don't give you the thing you're asking for. The thing is that they don't deliver on the unspoken promises. They carry with them, these desires carry with them, the unwritten expectation that it's going to bring happiness and fulfillment. That when I get this banana, that I'm not going to be hungry anymore and I'm not going to want to go eat something unhealthy. I get that car, no offense, John Roberts. I get that car, I think all of a sudden my family's going to be better and I'm going to be better and I'm going to be successful. And just because you think you can get this one thing and it's going to be make it all better. The desire is deceptive because it leads you to believe that once it's fulfilled, you'll be fulfilled. And it's just not true. In Hebrews chapter 12, the author says there, "We must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially any sin that distracts us can run the race that lies ahead." We've got to get rid of the old attitudes. We've got to get rid of the old habits. So what do these bad habits do? They distract us. The KJV puts it this way, that they They beset us. And that's a really interesting word. It comes from the Greek word that's found nowhere else, anywhere in Scripture. Euparestethos. That's probably not right. But anyway, it's really close. Euparestethos. And it means to easily surround. And it's a compound word. It's really made two or three words. But it means to easily surround and hit, like enemy soldiers or a trap that springs up on us before we even know it's there, before we even know what we're up against. That's the danger of sin, is that we think it's all clear, we think it's all going well, and all of a sudden it springs closed and we're caught. Just easily surrounds us, easily besets us. There's a lot of blessings of the new thinking and a new mind given to us by God. But we have to pitch out the old mind. We have to get rid of the old way of thinking, the way that we used to operate, which was really based purely on selfishness, that we couldn't or we wouldn't change because we didn't believe we could. All of that change was totally predicated on self. If you are without God, and you need to change, who's responsible for the change, church? You are. Right? If you're without God and something needs to be different about you, who's responsible to make it different? It's just me. It is totally centered on me. So why is getting rid of those bad habits so hard? Why is it so hard to change and get rid of those bad habits? Well, number one, bad habits have an immediate payoff. What gets rewarded gets repeated. You know how that is? I mean, give your dog a treat every time they go to the bathroom. See how many times a day they need to go to the bathroom. Right? Give your kid a piece of chocolate every time they clean their room, and before long have a really clean room or a really chocolatey kid. Right? What gets rewarded gets repeated. It's hard to get rid of something that gives immediate gratification. It's also hard because Satan hates us and he fights against us. And it's also hard because we tend to our habits. I've been the big guy for a long time. I was never like the small kid. I was always the big kid. Shocker, I know. But I've always been just kind of big boned, right around here. I've always been that kid. So for me to change being actually big, I've got to change what's going on, who I am. I'm the guy who can eat any and everything and usually do. I'm the guy who can do those things, right? So if that's who I believe that I am, that's how I'm going to live. So it's hard to get rid of that because that's who I believe that I am. People, and this is certainly proven true over time, that people who believe they are unable to be faithful to their spouse, guess what? They're not going to be faithful to their spouse. People who are unable to, who believe that they are unable to be loving, guess what? They make really bad parents because they don't think that they can. Maybe they didn't learn how to do that, and they don't think that it's in their genetics. You know, their mom was a bad mom or their dad was a bad dad, therefore I'm going to be a bad mom or a bad dad because I don't know how to do anything else. That's who I am. I'm sorry about it. I hate it. It's bad, but that's who I am. So it's really hard to change those things. And this is nothing new. In fact, this is exactly where most of us begin to change the process. We think that what we've got to do is just really buckle down. We've really got to have super ironclad willpower. And we know this statistically, only 8% of us succeed at our New Year's resolutions every year. And I have yet to meet those 8 people. I'd like to meet those people. But only about 8% of people succeed. And so we think, oh yeah, I just need to be tougher like Joe. Or I need to be have a better willpower like Susie. Right? That's what I think. Well, I think there's something going wrong. I think there's a flaw in that process. I believe that there's something missing, and it's not our willpower. Based on the testimony of Scripture and on personal experience, I would argue that it is not just willpower. I believe that we are missing a critical component here that we have to have before we can change. Ephesians, going back to Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul continues there. He says, don't keep living as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused in their thinking. What's wrong with them? Their thinking. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They're far away from the life God gives because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong. They've indulged themselves in all kinds of immorality, evil thinking, and the constant desire for more. What Paul's describing here is a philosophy known as hedonism. Basically, if it feels good, do it. If you like it, do it. God wants you to be happy, just go and enjoy. God made food for enjoyment. God made the opposite sex for enjoyment. God made money for enjoyment. So just go and get as much of those things as you'd like. You know, and maybe we haven't given in to that attitude completely, but in limited sorts of ways, even we as Christians are drawn into it. Maybe just material things, entertainment or food or relationships, drawn in on a somewhat limited basis into the idea of hedonism. And the problem with that is that it's like a bottomless pit. No matter how much you get of it, it never fills you up. Rebecca and I used to live in Kentucky. We used to live at the top of this hill that was known as Sinkhole Hill. And it was a big hill just on the edge of town. Along this hill, surprisingly, there was a sinkhole. And this sinkhole had been there as long as anyone could remember. It was perfectly round, and it was almost built up on the sides, and no one knew what caused it or what led to it. All they knew was that it was really deep. It was like the things of folklore and legend in the town, and it was just at the bottom of the pasture before you got to our house. This hill, scientists and different people had come out and tried to measure the depth, and they all come up with different readings because at the bottom of the sinkhole, there's all sorts of debris, limbs and things that have fallen over the years. And so there was no way to measure the actual depth of the hole, and there was no way to really get down there safely to do that. So it was just one of those things people were like, it's bottomless, right? There is no bottomless pit. And that's really not true. There probably is a bottom somewhere. But the thing about our desires is that they are a bottomless pit. I mean, it is a truly scary thing when we have bottomless desires. No matter how much money we get, if our desire is money, it will never be enough. No matter how much food we get, if what we desire is the gratification of that food, it will never be enough. No matter how much relationship we have with our spouse and our kids, no matter if what we desire is that alone, they cannot be enough. My wife is the best wife in the room besides yours. But as great as she is, she cannot fulfill me alone because those desires are bottomless. And when I was, this is years ago, I shouldn't tell the story. When Rebecca and I were dating, I got sick, I had to get on steroids for a while, as you can tell. I had to get on steroids for a while, and the thing about me being on steroids was that it was a bottomless pit. I could eat and never get full. It was the best thing, unless you're trying to be healthy and all that stuff. I literally could eat a full lunch, like just get all the food I wanted, and 30 minutes later, I'm like, well, let's eat. It was crazy. I could sit down to Thanksgiving dinner, and then an hour later, eat Thanksgiving dinner again. I just could not get full, but our desires do to us. Again, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, we read, instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. Or I like the way that the Contemporary English Version puts this. The Contemporary English Version says, let the Spirit change your way of thinking. And that's a really bottom line way of putting it. Before we can go and pitch our bad habits, we have to already caught this new way of thinking, this new mind from the Holy Spirit. What did the people receive on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when they believed, when they repented, when they were baptized, they received the Holy Spirit. Now, some people think, well, that's heaven, or that maybe they got a new copy of the New Testament, or I don't know what the gift of the Holy Spirit is. But the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. It comes in us and it changes who we are. Romans chapter 8, again, the Apostle Paul says, people who are ruled by their desires think only of themselves. Everyone who is ruled by the Holy Spirit thinks about spiritual things. If our minds are ruled by our desires, we will die. But if our minds are the Spirit, we will have life and we will have peace. The people who were on the day of Pentecost who received the gift of the Spirit, they received life, they received peace because they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They changed their thinking. And that only makes sense because otherwise it's like asking someone, unless you receive, by the way, it only makes sense that you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit first before you throw out the old. Otherwise, it's like asking someone who never gets full to stop eating. You get that? It's telling someone, I know you're never going to be satisfied. You need to go on a diet. That's just crazy. It's not going to happen. It is doomed. It is bound failure. And I believe that's the pattern that we have gone through over and over and over. We haven't gotten the new mind and instead have just tried to throw out the old. I got to get rid of this bad stuff. I've got to change my bad habits. I got to start my good habits. But we're doing it without the Spirit. And if you are trying to change apart from the power of God, then it's all relying on you. And again, it is doomed for failure. So in this case, have to catch your new mind before you're even capable of pitching old mind. You cannot get rid of the old until you have caught the new. Jesus tells this parable in Matthew 12 about casting out evil spirits. You may have heard it. And he says, you cast out these evil spirits and they will wander around, and if they find nowhere to go, they're going to return to this house. And if this is empty, if it's swept clean, it's going to invite seven of his friends to come back. Now, what's that all about? And you're thinking, I don't have evil spirits. I'm anyone who has evil spirits. What's Jesus talking about there? He's saying, you can't just get rid of the old bad stuff without filling it up with something good, something new. If you, and this is the danger, if you think, I need to do better, and you quit that whatever sin it is, but you don't fill it with the power of God, then that old bad habit is going to come back redoubled. It's going to come back, in fact, seven times. You must be filled with the Spirit if you're going to effectively pitch out your old self. This morning, if you have tried and failed and tried and failed on your own, and you're ready to be empowered by the Spirit of God, if you're ready to have your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, to become a child of God, or if you need prayers of forgiveness or for strength or for aid, we want you to know that this church family is loving and welcoming, and we have been there and done that. We want to walk with you and pray with you this morning. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
The Lord never ceases, His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. Therefore I will hope in Him.
As we close today, I encourage you to keep our youth group in your prayers this week. They'll be leaving Friday to go to the Reflect conference down in Florida. So I think we have 20 or 21 or so going. So just those kids and adults that are going with them in your prayers. And again, thank you for being here today. And let's dismiss in a prayer. Father, thank you so much for how many ways that you bless us and how good you are to us and how good this life is. And even with the struggles and things, that we can step back and see how blessed we are. Father, thank you for that. And thank you for this church family. And I just pray your blessings on us as we try to be light in this community and to serve this community and love each other and love those that we come around and in contact with every day. Father, just help us to be your people. Help people to see you in us by the way that we live and the way that we act and the way that we treat others. Father, thank you so much. We pray for those we've mentioned today. We've got some that have lost family members recently, and we just continue to lift them up and pray for your peace and your healing effort. And for those we've talked about this morning, Father, that are sick and that are struggling with their health, we know, Father, that you know what they need and what their desires are. And Father, we just lift them up to you and pray that you will bless them. Father, please go with us as we leave here today. We just pray you will keep everyone safe and watch over us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.